All right, we'll call the meeting to order at 6:08 PM. This is the subcommittee to update zoning procedures. I'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, roll call. Al Misiewicz.
Here.
Dave Kopczynski.
Here.
Bill Harris is here. Paul Denise.
Here.
Okay. Everyone's present. We have a quorum. Communications.
Is Kevin?
I don't see anyone else on.
He said he was good.
All right. Well, we will certainly let him in. Certainly he can get in whenever he needs to.
Okay.
So the only communications I got was Al's email with the forums. But which was welcome. So we've noted that. Public portions. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? So anyone, we'll try again. Anyone from the public who'd like to speak? This is a subcommittee meeting for planning and zoning. One last time. Anyone from the public who'd like to speak?
Could you tell if anyone's on?
Yeah, they would pop up. There'd be a box there because there's I'm on. And,
not just numbers.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
So, so public portion, we can say that's closed since no one wanted to speak. I put together two sets of minutes, one for the meeting on 5:20 and the other on 6:17. I neglected to give you these at the last meeting for May, so I lumped together 2 months worth here today. Is there any corrections or changes that are needed? I guess, do we need a motion first to approve it?
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
And Paul second.
And I'm going to abstain on the first meeting by 20 minutes.
We'll do the motion for the adjournment.
Well, so I guess we need a... So let's say we have a motion for the May 20th meeting.
Right.
So Al's going to abstain. Right. So everyone approve?
That's right.
He's
going to
abstain. That's what happened for you too.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right.
Take a motion to approve.
All right. So, and I'll second, and then
we vote aye.
Aye. All right. So now we need a motion for the June meeting.
I'll make a motion for the June 17th meeting minutes.
Second.
Second.
Dave. Any discussion? No, I got this process right down. Any discussion? So, all in favor, approve? Any nays? No nays. Okay. So, we've got the minutes approved. Pre-application checklist, your final shot at revising it before you go in front of the folks tonight, but
it's very good. However, I want the members to review a section right out of our planning zoning regulations that I would like incorporated in the special exception application.
Okay, we're talking about the pre-application checklist. I just want to make sure we're all set with the pre-application checklist.
Or you may want to consider it in the pre-application.
Oh, okay. All right.
It is section 195-48. And well, then could you
outread it?
Yeah. Okay. It's probably that important, this section here, to give applicants a direction on what they need to establish in order to get a special exception approval. And maybe it should be in the special exception application itself rather than the application. But an applicant really should be aware of this.
Actually, that's the way I'm reacting to that is on the checklist, I think that's where the guidance might be given out, whether it's
well,
a site plan or a special app, right?
Right. That's why.
And then if driven in that direction, then we would want this to be in the application for the special exception. So I'm agreeing with you.
No.
If this wants to be anywhere, it wants to be in the special exception.
Okay.
The formal application. That's my reaction. Okay. Because the checklist is kind of setting up the stage for which way do you go?
Because
the checklist could go in a bunch of different ways, right?
You know, hopefully the zoning enforcement officer is going to be aware of this also, and he's going to be able to, guide people accordingly. And the reason why I think it's so important is because people have been treating special exception applications like normal site plan review applications, and there's a world of difference. Okay, there's a world of difference because a site plan application is a matter of right. Okay, the person applies, they meet the zoning regulations for a site plan. We can't refuse them. Special exception is different. Special exception, they have to be able to establish that these five criteria are met. It's not a matter for special exception application. It's a privilege to special exception, because normally what they would want to do in that zone is not permitted.
I think though most of these things are, even with a normal site plan, you have to follow.
No, they're not part of the regulations.
Noise and light coming off the property on whatever application.
It's not in our regulations, Albert. That's the only reason why.
I think that
this section here is specific to special exception applications, not site plan.
In fact, those are directly from the state statute.
From the state statute.
Yeah, but still, even in a normal site plan application, we're not going to pass anything that's going to be impairing public health.
Well, if it's not prohibited,
you can't.
Then you're going to be on real thin ice if you turn around and tell somebody, I don't like the lighting that you've got over. Okay.
We do.
Not in site plan applications.
Yes, you have to meet the lighting regulations.
Well, you have plan. Right. You have to meet, but this goes above and beyond now what the regulations state. Okay. You know, it's nebulous enough in the descriptions here to give the commission a lot of flexibility onto either approving something, denying something, or asking them to alter something. Okay.
So what are you saying? 195-48?
Yeah, 195-48 for special exceptions. Yeah. You know, again, you know, F is a perfect example where proposed use of buxers in a residential zone, commission may regulate hours of operation, taking into consideration intensity of lighting, noise, and traffic generation. We don't even have a noise ordinance here. Okay. So you would never be able to prevent somebody in a site plan application because you think it's going to be noisy. Okay. Traffic generation, you would need a report from the traffic commission on that. And even then, if it's a site plan application, yeah, it's a busy road,
So what do you want? Do you want this 195-48 as a separate page? Configurations?
Each separate page or somehow added into the probably a separate page would be best, the one right before the notification.
So maybe there's a so a, just a structural question, right? On the document structure. I understand that the two documents are the same except for right now are the same except for the need to have a public hearing on the special exception. So there's a separate part of the form for that. But would there be two packets, a special exception packet and a site plan packet, or would
No,
the
not
site
right
plan
now, it's
packet
a
be the
combined.
site plan sheet be
Well,
over
I think what you do is
overlaid on the
you have the first page, which just has the one difference, right? Oh yeah, there's line 8, because you certainly wouldn't want to do less than site plan application.
What do you really want?
Line 8 on your special exception. This is basically everything else follows on site plan.
Hold on, are we using this one? Or do we have a different one?
Is this the one I just mailed?
Oh.
It may just
Okay.
form a different name when you
Yeah,
get to
no,
yours.
it's different. Yeah. So I would do two separate applications.
Right.
One site plan application, and another one special
Right.
exception
But
application.
all these attachments, 1 through 7,
They should
can
be.
be for either
They
one.
should, yeah, they should be
So you
okay.
don't have to make up, you could use the
No,
same
no, no. Right,
attachments.
right, right.
Just
No.
this one has attachment
It
8.
would just have an
And
attachment.
well, I
on
was
the
saying,
back.
so structurally, you would have a, if we had a packet, you would hand them a packet that says everything would say site plan on it, the
Yeah,
header.
this would
The other one would
say,
say site plan
right.
special exception.
Well, I,
That's what I'm trying to get
yeah,
at.
yeah. See, I and
Is
I
it really is two
disagree.
separate
It is. I
forms.
disagree because sometimes a special exception application does not require a site plan. Okay, and because it's a use change, so I would let the zoning enforcement
Right.
officer go through the checklist there to determine what they need to
Are you
submit.
sure? It sure doesn't require a site plan.
It
Not
should. Not an
necessarily.
application,
But a site plan.
A special exception?
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Should. I think I
So
got it.
I thought I remember reading that.
If it's a use
Yeah, it
change,
would seem strange that you're going to propose
because
something
you're not altering.
that's a special thing, whereas
You don't have a
somebody
plan.
came in that's following the same rules, is
For
not going
example,
to be a special
if
exception.
there's a church in a community that it is now abandoned, and now you want a wedding facility to go in there, if it's permitted by special permit, you don't want to take a look at the site plan.
Well,
I know. I almost
there
find
may not be
that.
any
I
alteration
yeah,
at all
but Dave,
but
there's
even if there's
no.
no alteration, how do we know the traffic is going to be
Right.
there good for a wedding
Well,
facility? How do we know at peak times
so
traffic is
so
going to be
so
there?
so
They
so
follow.
consider if even whether it's a if it is a special exception, you have to have a site plan. Just say you need one.
Which
And I think it says
could
that.
probably
I think
be.
it's in there.
Right.
If you just
So
say you
I
need
may be
it,
wrong, but
then it's
I'm almost positive I don't
so
have my
if
permit.
they
I can't believe you
follow,
would want it. I can't
I meant
believe
to
that
take
this
the
commission
extra
would
page.
say
Okay.
you could have
If
a special exception without having a site
I
plan,
mean, if he
right?
follows the things
I'd like to hear
down and
that
he does the second
couplet.
checklist and he does it with the zoning enforcement officer, then if he doesn't feel he has to do any of this stuff, he could write it off.
Right.
Right. But I
It's
would
not even a
not
special
put
exception
it,
then.
take it out of the app, out of the thing, because you
Yeah. You
want to
will
see
don't
that.
want to take it off the heading.
No, because I want to
Okay.
see that the zoning enforcement
Then
officer okayed that. And it's not just the applicant saying, hey, this is the same. I'm not going to do a site plan.
right.
You want somebody to authorize it. But I mean, I would just use this and I would just tack that section on the back of the page like that, two-sided copy. And they have, you know, okay, and these are the special things you're going to have to look out for, because this is a little more. We expect a little more out of you than a normal site.
It allows for
and that's on
a partial.
Put it on. Right, by that section on.
On the back of this page. Make it a double side.
Right.
Copy, so that all on that first.
Getting back to the sound regulations, about 7 years ago, the state threw out all the noise ordinances in town. And in order to enforce the ordinances, it has to be consistent with the state statutes, and that requires people to be trained. You can either be designated as the enforcement officer, or in many cases, the police department. Police department's not sending their guys out.
No.
And to do that, to enforce it, they have to stand with a light meter at grade, at the property.
Record the decibels.
It's impossible to enforce that.
No, well, Derby refused. Derby Police Department, because we tried to do that about 15 years ago. And the chief of police said, no. First of all, I don't have it in my budget, you know, for any of the equipment. Number two, I don't have any money in my budget to send you.
And the training is ridiculous, yeah, the number of hours to train for.
Yeah. So he said, we're not going to do it. So there's response was on how they were going to handle it. An officer who goes out to investigate makes a judgment call on whether or not it is breach of the peace or not, because of the noise. And of course, somebody doesn't want to comply with reducing the sound of the music or whatever they're doing, they'd get arrested for breach of peace, and 9 times out of 10 that would get thrown out of court. Okay. So it was no teeth.
Right. And I mean, even if they just bought a BB gun, if the officer just bought a BB gun with them and shot it, said it was 120 dBs, and I was at my car at this event, so it was noisy. And so the guy goes, no, it's not noisy.
Well, that's the problem. But with us, we're planning and zoning. You know, somebody turns around and comes in with an application, say for a restaurant or whatever, and they say, well, we're going to have outdoor music. And we say, well, you know, this is a special exception application. You know, you've got neighbors around there, residential homes. Mm-hmm. How are you going to handle that?
Although you could address it with that section you just had.
Yes.
Does it violate the health, safety, and welfare?
Yes. Right. Okay. No. I mean,
maybe you don't have to attack it.
We don't need a noise ordinance, I'm saying, but we would have an easier time enforcing this than the police department. You know, if somebody wanted to come in with an application where they're going to have, you know, outdoor sound. And I'll tell you, it became an issue. You were on, Albert, you were on when the brothers up there on Route 34 opened up the brewery.
Oh,
what it goes?
Bad
Sons. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they were having outdoor. And of course, the people on Park Avenue, you know, all live over there. So. Became, but they were cooperative.
What was the same with the hops company?
Well, the hops company, we may get more complaints on that because they changed their operation.
Right. And the thing is, with the application, the application that they came to us.
Depends on how loud the music is.
Their business is a little different.
And how it is. How late. Now, they were stopping their music at 10 o'clock. I know. I hear every song in my backyard. Oh, absolutely. In my backyard, on my deck, I could sing along. Okay. All right. And
that's what's going on in that there.
And it's, you know, it's not, it doesn't bother me. Okay. People next door, they got 5 kids. I don't know. It might bother them that kind of late. But I think he realizes that he can't tick off, you know, because the sound from the old Grass Hill Lodge has to go through John Street, through the condominiums, Orangewood East, before it hits my backyard on Crockdown Street. So, you know, those people are bearing the brunt. I know that Karen Chemisis is very upset about it because she's a lot closer. But, you know, those are the types of things that the Planning and Zoning Commission should be looking at when somebody comes in. Now this guy, this owner, he didn't even come before us with the change of the operation.
Yeah, they did a lot of changes.
Yeah, and they never, and Kevin White got thrown off of the property because he questioned him. You know, what wasn't a good scene. Okay. And that's not a friend of the city when you throw a public official off of property and then threaten to sue him.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You want to put it
down again? I received 5 times in this. I find. I mean, there was no merit to it, but the first time I was purchasing my house. And if I didn't know someone at the bank, I wasn't getting mortgage. I got denied for my mortgage.
That's right.
And I had to go to a friend at the bank.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No.
Did the city defend you, or
The city defended me. The only problem is that I was named with 3 other individuals. And two of the individuals had nothing to worry about like myself, but the third was a loose can.
Okay.
And so that was a bit of concern, sure, even though I wasn't part of that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. No, you got to be careful, but that's. So Kevin just walked away on that.
You know. So talking about Kevin for a minute, did he ever get back on the pre-planning application?
I haven't heard from him.
I talked to him today.
Did he have a death in the family?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
But Kevin, I talked to Kevin today.
Did he look at it even?
I think he's okay with it. He's okay with the primary office.
And I asked him, you know, I said, are you going to be at the subcommittee? Yeah, I'm going to try, you know, Kevin. But yeah, if he had.
He said he's already started using the form. So yeah, I didn't think he was going to be.
It's really to benefit him too.
Oh, absolutely.
And to be honest with you, if he wants to revise it, he can. No. All he's got to do is come push back. I want to change this and go back to the commission again, right?
That free application is so all encompassing.
I don't think so.
You need to change anything. I mean, he's
got lots of latitude. Yeah. That, as far as I'm,
yeah,
far that way I see it. I was going to comment. Al put this zoning application responsibilities attachment 1 here together. I thought this was pretty useful for an applicant.
I liked it a
lot. Couple of questions I had, though. One is that do we need to talk about the fact that not every time does an application end up coming to the commission?
No.
A lot, 90% of them, Kevin handles on his own. Should this reflect that?
Probably not, because
so this is just for the ones that come to the commission.
If they don't hand it in, it's not an application.
No, but he handles some on his own.
Well, I think what Bill was saying, Al,
not special exception. This is a regular
site plan. There's a lot of times people come in, they want to get a zoning permit, okay, and based on whatever the use or what they want to do is, mm-hmm, they may not need a site plan, mm-hmm, application. Right. They may not need a special exception, right, a zone text change, or anything. It's something that the zoning enforcement officer
handles it.
Yeah, right. He could just write them a certificate of zoning
compliance. Yeah, I could see you have a form that says that it complies with the zone, and that's it, because it's.
Yeah,
they're not.
I just didn't know if this needed to be referenced in the application or not. Okay, that's the only reason I brought it up. If it's going to be more confusing, we definitely don't want to put it in there. So other than that, I mean, I think this is a valuable piece of information to have on there.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, another place to put these comments could be within this.
I thought of that, but that again is only specific.
Well, you could have one of these specific for the site plan and one of these specific for the special exception.
Just put on the back and say, look, you'll.
Yeah.
Well, oh, okay. Yeah.
The commission is going to be looking.
However you want to do it.
This is information for the benefit of the applicant, because, you know, going into this special exception, application, they have to realize that there are some pitfalls that they may encounter if, you know, they get some opposition.
Right.
From people, you know, and people have a right to oppose a special exception application. That's the whole purpose of the notification.
Yeah, because I mean, Kevin could say, like I said, if it was like a simple site plan application, you don't need all this crap here.
You don't need it. No.
But just be aware, make sure you have answers to the questions. Make sure this is what they're going to be asking you.
Mm-hmm.
And put it in your statement of use.
So it sounds to me like these documents are like 95% complete.
Yeah.
If we agree to on that, so now the question becomes, so these are not what I would call editable documents. Well, now. But so should they be?
The only one I would definitely, because we haven't heard from Kevin, is
get them typed out. I'm just bringing it up because right now looks like they're.
And the only thing too is the attorney should look at.
Oh yeah.
To make sure there's nothing. Absolutely. In there,
well, absolutely, yeah. I'm asking the question, right? So I come from the world where we always had revision control and we put documents in a format that we could change them in the future if you wanted to. These can't be edited the way they exist right now.
Once they're approved, they still gotta get approved.
But I'm just saying, going forward, if somebody wants to change this document, 2 years from now. Just to put page numbers on, they're going to have a problem because it's not a Word document. It's not an editable format. Do we want to get it into? This is a structural question. Do we want to get it in an editor? Do we want it typed in an editable format?
I think so because there may be something that we haven't thought about or maybe there's a brand new issue that
statute changes.
Where the state says, "Hey, you lost half of this control." Get it out of here.
So I'm good at Word. I used to deal with Word all the time, but I am not. I'm not a professional typist formatter. So should we be asking Lisa to do this, or should we
I've got it in PDF. And I got it in Word, in bulk.
So you have a Word document,
right? And all I did was convert it to PDF, and so she could take my original Word document too. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
And I, unfortunately, now I think with Adobe, even if you give them a PDF, they can un-PDF it.
I'm pretty sure you can lock it so they can't.
That's what I thought too, but there's
a way to do it.
There's a, and when you go to the thing, it says, do you want to convert this PDF to another format?
Did we incorporate the statement of use in our site planning application?
Statement of use, both of them. They're listed right there.
It's in there.
It's the third one, statement of use.
Oh, okay.
And it's, I don't.
But that should reference the section of the zoning regulations because that's a specific thing. It's 195-32.
I got the page right here.
One.
Does not reference that.
Yeah, and I mean, this is where, you pass out to legal. They say, let's put these citations.
Well, this makes it much easier for the applicant to figure out what they need,
right?
To put in.
Yes, well, everything on that statement of use thing has every one of those points in it.
Huh?
It has listed every one of those points.
You listed that each one?
Yeah, I didn't reference that. Statute number, but it basically lists
statement or declaration as to the nature, a provision.
Yeah, he's got the words there.
Water supply.
Those words are
number
there.
Number of persons to be employed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if the words are there, then
I didn't put water supply. I put advocacy of the utilities. Okay. So they're going to have to say, it's got common, city water, it's number got city sewer.
Employed, occupied, or
so it's, okay. So what I'm trying to get to is, do we have something that we can send to the commission and send to Kevin and send to legal and say, here's two documents.
Right.
Here's drafts.
Oh,
I already got Ryan's comments on it. I already edited Ryan. You put two comments, so that's been added in there.
So that's good. So
now it's just legal.
Yeah.
At the commission and legal,
yeah,
right?
The commission.
The commission members, should, yeah. I think, should see
I mean,
this too.
I didn't put like on our original forms, they have on the bottom about the fees and all that stuff. I think that the city can be responsible for coming up with their own fee schedule because there's so many different types of fees. And
I don't know if that has to be on the application or not. I didn't
so that's a good question for you.
Because it always was on the application, the fees, and if they were paid.
And I think that
in your sheet here, you do talk about
the introduction letter.
And you talk about application fees.
It says that you're responsible for fees.
Does it say who they pay it to?
Yeah, to the city clerk on a monthly basis.
On a monthly basis.
Yeah, that's what this says.
Before we move on anything to be supposed to be paid.
The application.
Yeah. Any fees they incur.
Because of fee schedule changes, I suppose you don't need to put what the cost is or do we, Paul?
I don't think we have to determine that. I think they
can't
downstairs has to determine that.
I think they should be able to at least come up with a fee document.
That's what most towns do.
And they're all different. And
the only time there's a variable in terms of the fees is sometimes, and I know it's written in our regulations, if we want to get an outside expert to come in.
We have that in our ordinance.
We have that. And so, you know, at that point, it's going to vary somewhat.
Right.
The
other thing is, I mean, fee, for example, is different for site plan and review application as it is for special exception.
Sure, you have to pay the legal notice now.
There are different price tags.
Still haven't changed the law on that. These legal notices are getting to be.
Oh, they're outrageous. Yeah. Yeah, they are outrageous.
So is a motion appropriate to
forward to the Corporation Council
and the commission members?
Okay.
I'm willing to put them all together in one document.
Do you want to say with the addition of Dave's suggestion of putting that section on the back of the site plan application?
So we'll have a motion.
We need a motion. Yeah.
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 Well, I think we should because we're
right.
We're drawing a line on two forms now, which is part of our charter. Okay. So we're saying we got it in a position to be. That's why I'm asking. That's why I'm saying we want to do something formal now that we're going to forward out to people to say we're 95% done.
We might as well. We may get some comments.
Suggestion of the committee.
So we need a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Paul. Second, Dave.
Yeah.
Any discussion? I know we want to add 195-48 the special exception.
And the only thing will be, do we have to add any legal jargon? And that's for the corporate.
And they may decide too that they want that fee schedule attached.
Yep. Which I think is appropriate coming from those folks.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a motion seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good job.
Opposed? No nays. All right. So that's a very productive meeting. We need to, what's next?
Let's give it 1 month and see if these guys accept this. If they come back,
I know all that
changes and everything, and we have to go a different route.
You know, our charge is to revise applications. It's not to revise the zoning regulations.
Right.
It's not to revise the subdivision regulations. Although, I mean, we all know that that needs to be done, but that's not what we were.
So, Dave, do you know if we have a simple zoning compliance form? For a simple thing where they just come and ask
for this page form. I asked Kevin about that. I said, "Do you have those forms?" Yeah, I can't find it.
How did he sign off?
This big. He did what Kevin does. He writes a letter, okay, and then signs it on their letterhead. But I had an actual form.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a half page. It's carbon copy type of thing. Okay, and very simple.
Right.
You know, give the name, the address, what the use is going to be, what the zone is, and what the fee was. And fee, when I was doing it, was $15 per certificate of zoning compliance.
So
it's in our regulations.
Yeah.
So maybe what I'll suggest is, I think it's a good comment to say we want to hold for it, because what if you get in a day with a bunch of feedback? Now we got to regroup again. Let's make next month's meeting conditional. I'm trying to be responsive. It's August, vacation time. You're coming early, giving up an extra hour. If we don't get any feedback, then we won't meet next month, right?
Right. And again,
and then we'll meet the following month, because if we don't have any feedback, then we're going to go through the forms and we'll pick them. Maybe I'll just send out a suggestion. Say, what do you want? When do you want to work on next?
Especially from Kevin, okay? Because he's the guy that's got to enforce this stuff. Does he want a new certificate of zoning compliance form? Does he want, I know he wants new subdivision regulations, but we're not qualified about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I would love to have just a set form for zoning complaints, because all he's got to do is sign off it.
Had it for years. Paul, we had that same form when you were zoning.
Okay.
Big Papini. Okay. I mean, it's very
sad.
Yeah. He was a great guy. It was, it was a form that we used. There's hundreds of them filled out in the files, in the file cabinet for each property. Okay.
All right. So
because I wouldn't give out a building permit in most cases if it involved an addition or a change of use or something like that, without issuing first their certificate of zoning compliance.
So all we got to do is find an old form and if it's in good shape, we should be able to go in the records, because these places should have those.
And there's a lot of templates out there.
Yes,
that other communities use
that.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. Derby didn't invent that. Look at that. It came from somebody else. Probably the same thing that you had in Orange.
Right? Yeah, we had one in Orange.
Yeah.
And we changed it according to our needs and what our concerns are.
Is it big?
No, it was one page.
One page.
So what we'll do is, what I'm thinking is, we'll let the August meeting be conditional. If we have a disaster, right, then we'll meet.
Yeah.
If we don't have a disaster, I'll give you the hour back. And we'll meet in September. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And September's meeting will be to finalize and incorporate any feedback we get. But hopefully we get it before the meeting. We can incorporate it and then review it here. And then select the next form to work on. And I think my impression is these are the toughest ones, right? Would you say?
Oh, we did the toughest.
So now the other form should go
relatively. Yeah, it's zoning compliance. I mean, it's really tough.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, so
we can
even
blow through the rest.
Month off, I may work on that. I may work on a simple site plan application too. Something that's not as scary.
Sure. Okay.
Looking.
All right.
What, you think this is scary looking?
Well, it's a lot of paper.
Yeah, I know, but the zoning enforcement officer.
That sounds reasonable.
He can whittle it all down.
Yeah. Is Kevin on this Zoom?
No, he did not. No, he didn't call.
He could whittle it all down, and
I'm just thinking of saving some.
But I mean, it's so important, again, and I always emphasize it, for a potential applicant to meet with the zoning enforcement officer.
So, Paul,
people cannot.
We are running out of time. I want to make sure you have something you wanted to add.
No.
Okay, I thought you had something on your mind.
The only other issue that has to be determined is, will this application process have an electronic component to it? How much of it will be electronic?
Yeah,
that's something.
Yeah, that's beyond us.
Yeah,
right.
It's beyond
us. We're doing the forms and
I'm trying to make it so that you can transport.
Because somebody's got to be hired to do that.
In terms of the forms now, it's a fantastic guide when someone comes in to give them an idea of what the process is and what they have to do.
Yeah,
and put it online is definitely the way to go.
Oh yeah, could put the form on it, sure.
So
and get rid of that stupid
that's beyond our
5-7 steps to a building permit, which is still on the website.
So you got to get an IT guy to put it together for you. So I don't know where they're going to get the IT guy from.
Before we go in there, did nobody got any information on the solar panels at the dump yet, right?
Not that I know of.
It's on the agenda.
Right. So can we treat that like an application? Say, look, you just hand it now.
It's not an application. It's a
24 report.
Yeah, it's
a I know.
But there should be some
I mean, yeah, to tell you that you want, because that's going from half a megawatt to 4 megawatts. That's
how many more panels are they going to have?
That's why I mean. Where are they going to put them and what? So if they don't have any drawings or anything, especially they'll come back with some.
Okay, so so we need to bring this to adjourn. So need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So now, so I can log out. All right.